But if we can view a movie in here, that would be more of a shared experience than something collaborative, and I have to disagree on this one point. There are lots of applications on the web where we could have whiteboarding or do some sort of collaborative type of thing. If we could, you know, have, if we could texture a web browser on a wall and put five or six walls in a place, you know, one has USA Today, one has, you know, New York Times, you know, you would have a newsroom. People would go and drink their coffee there in the morning. If you had games, and similarly on five different walls or something like that, now it could be a game room. Certainly news was using a system wherein you could bring up web pages within the room. You could dial up an MP3 and then everybody could listen to it, and that is a shared experience. And so I don't really, you know, want to get hung up on the terminology between shared experience and a collaborative venture, except that, you know, there are a lot of applications on the web that would allow us to collaborate, whiteboarding or whatever. And that if we could put these sort of things inside of the environment of in Traveler instead of, you know, in an external page that takes us away from this, that would be terribly useful.
That was hard to do. Now it's kind of easier to do. And surely I think some of the direct access tools, we could get away with that. Kind of Muse proved it was possible. I think Muse in some ways is extremely groundbreaking. You know, it's not really owned anymore as a company and blah, blah, blah. That's hard to face. But I'm saying I did see something amazing where you could have Flash movies and Internet Explorer in the same world. Under some level of program control, it really started breaking down what these things were. You know, I like to bring up this idea of a flock of movies comes over to you, teases you, and runs away. They're not really video at that point. They're not quite new. So I do think we could probably do some of that. I do think you have to watch about how much you that do. I talk a lot about social spaces versus info spaces. It just is not comfortable. It's not comfortable talking in a big gym. It's not comfortable talking on a bar chart. So I always at least push this idea of community conversation first. So I at least want to tailor it to keep it that it's not the people stupid. We had people come to me. News was extremely into gaming, but they made a space that was more focused, more about community. And gamers would come in all the time and go, who do you kill here? This is bar. I had no clue that it was not, in fact, a game. It was, in fact, a community space. In fact, they just assumed everything in the world is a game. When we say the word community space, that's just a version of a game, and therefore, in their eyes, it was boring. So I think what I agree with you, Oz, I at least want to come up with the idea that just having a design focus when we put all those things in is a lot. It was really funny with Muse because as soon as we did it, people would complain that Muse was slow. These are some of my artists. And I'd go, okay, well, why is it too slow? I was going, well, look at this world. I'm like, you have 23 browsers open. Yeah. It's like, okay, tell you what, let's close Muse and I'm going to open up 23 browser windows and let's see the responsiveness. So you do get into an issue also when you're able to do all these things that it gets a lot of hand.
That question is amazing. Who are you supposed to kill here as an illustration of how different associations what you expected is the interactions online.
What was more amazing is what they said right afterwards was once they understood that in fact there was no one to kill, they still wanted to know how it works. And it was impossible for them to understand anything but a game. They said, okay, so we talk. How does the talking work? You know, you're going, okay, well, we're talking now, and we can bring up information. For what? What would you do? What would you do? You know, and they were just, you know. So, it was a sad commentary, I thought. You know, and in the end, I said, well, you know, it just isn't for you, and I don't care about you. So it's okay.
No, we lost you again, Steve.
I'm still here, but I do have to run off. We'll be back. You know, I'm going to bring up something and maybe push Bruce to answer it. Bruce, are you still here?
Yep.
Let me just, I'm sorry, Bruce, I'm not going to be around for the answer because I got to run off and eat or else the food will be cold. But I keep thinking with the open source world, the Suns and the IBMs, because they do look like they're doing efforts, if we showed them Traveler and we claim we had the code base and people interested in doing it, could they give us some coding support that they might be interested? And that would be a model that I would like to use. But you do that all the time. In other words, you show the stuff off to places like that. Do you think there's, in this day and age, that that's a possibility that they could decide to support as an open source tool instead of Looking Glass Traveler if we showed it to them right and approached them in the right way?
I think there's a chance. I'm not too familiar with Looking Glass. I'm not, if that's something they're working with, I'm not sure about it. I know that from the university standpoint, Patrick Svensson in the home lab in Sweden is constantly trying to find sources, whether it be from the Swedish University Network or the language learning as a linguist, find ways to provide kind of a committed project with committed budget that we can, say, support a team. And it might be Swedish students, or it could be just an international team, interns or whatever, to take the code base apart and maybe help Dave. I know Dave is tremendously busy. Oh, there's Lady D. I know Dave is tremendously busy at Adobe, as always, and he did put a big effort in earlier this year to get everything linking. I think it would come down to Dave's willingness to say, look, here's my build of the code base. So if you want to take it from here, that's fine. Or maybe he has some pride of ownership because it really is his baby. He'd want to still be the overseer, or maybe he just wants to keep working on it himself. I don't know. That's what I was kind of hoping Dave would be around tonight. Anyway, I guess Steve may not have heard the answer, but I think that it's something we want to do, and I think that 2005, we really should make it the year that the Traveler code base goes to a team somewhere with some kind of agreement to start making new builds and testing them. That's really a goal, a personal goal that I have for 2005, and I think it just comes down, we got to talk to Dave Collins, and I could give him a call. Steve Turner's always talking to him. I know some of you guys are. Just to see if that's something that that can happen. So his code base, you know, one of the issues, just to sort of share with you guys, his new build integrates the LSAP codec, and that's a higher quality audio, et cetera, et cetera. But we currently do not have an agreement with VoiceAge. We decided it was too expensive to continue beyond the 600 channels that we purchased from VoiceAge a couple of years back. So we don't have an active agreement with them. We can, of course, use the codec and things like that, or we could, as Oz points out, convert it to Speaks, which is open source. But that's more work. Dave Collins has gotten involved in that discussion and said, well, why don't we just put Speech in there? So Speaks, S-P-E-E-X. But there's a bunch of techie issues around making Traveler ready for the next generation. But again, we just need to have Dave Collins' participation on any case.
And don't forget that you have some people in the Traveler community that are programmers, and that, you know, because of their love for the Traveler platform, will help as much as they can. You know, like Dex right here. You know, he's a programmer. He would volunteer a lot of his time to help if there's any kind of way that he could help. there are people in this community that, that would lend their time and efforts to the project.
Definitely, that they would, in some sense, be our first choices because they have a fundamental feel for it. And it really, it just comes down to really just two or three people that, you know, if we got some, you know, walking around money, it would be good. I know that even if we were unfunded, people could still move the platform forward. I know Dave's got a full-time job at Adobe and four kids and whatnot, and he's just doing this on his spare time, just for the love of it. Now, he's got a huge head start on any of us, and the fact he's brought the code base up to a linkability is incredible. I mean, someone could take it from there and get it all working and actually make a build. You know, so that's the gift that he gives us if that goes ahead. And yeah, then just making up, as I was saying, fully open sourcing a Traveler may be a little risky because of the security concerns, and i.e. making the code base downloadable by anybody. But if we did a kind of a community source license like Mozilla has, just for our group, and we agreed that we were going to have a procedure by releasing things and involving people, I think I'd be comfortable with that. So in a sense, this group would be, you know, Travelerzilla or whatever, Travzilla or something like that, produced, the Mozilla group ended up producing the Firefox browser, which I'm using these days. Real stuff can happen in this kind of thing when you get a good team together.
All of this for years is hung on Dave Collins' ability to turn out the code. Now, I agree that he should be involved. He's so very intimate with it, and I can't think of anybody better. But the poor guy is working at Adobe and trying to feed four kids in Silicon Valley, and I don't know how we can inspire him to put as much time as it takes for us to have a linkable, compilable source code, and everything is waiting on that. And so what I'm trying to say is there some way that we can inspire him to put the kind of hours forward that it would need to get that to happen?
Well, my understanding is from the last connection I had with him, and of course he's buried in the Atmosphere 2.0 project, but that he got everything to link. So he rebuilt the missing pieces of the code base. He got everything to link up to the point before he would start testing, and he even requested from us the path for the avatars and some of the logo art, which I dutifully sent him. And that was back about March. So since that period, he's been buried in work. But I think a concerted and respectful effort to see if where he is and whether he'd be willing to give us an archive of that existing code base, not spending much time on it, and serve as the chief architect, sort of the father of it, and let us see if we can actually do something with it. When you have something that actually can link and compile to an executable, you're a long way there. I think that really would be our next step, in my opinion.
One of the things that I would really like, we do a lot of classes over on our Euro server, and we're working with HumLab and Delano University, and there's more, you know, wanting to join in all the time. And they have a common complaint in that this is not ported over to Linux or Apple. And if it were, if this could be more universal, that so many more schools would jump on board and help to support it, either with development or with some monies. And I think that should be, you know, in the back of our mind. You know, I'm not saying the first new version to come out has to do that, but I think we should bear in mind that if we can port this over to other platforms and make it more universally acceptable and more cross-platform, that we can find a whole lot more friends out there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think just widening the scope and saying, look, you know, what we're doing in digital space, which is interesting, which truthfully, you know, there maybe there's a merger there. We're building a platform called SimSpace. And SimSpace is the Ogre 3D game engine, which is open source. It's the object dynamic engine, which is the open source physics engine. It's ActiveX controls and scripts and SOAP and MySQL and PHP. And it's driving all of our work for NASA. And I'm hiring interns through the NASA work at USC to create stuff on the platform because it's a pretty open platform. And I could, you know, we added sound. We just added sound to Ogre. If you go to ogre3d.org or I can't remember the site, you'll see that engine. And it's pretty powerful. And I could see the possibility of down the road that Digital Space itself could implement something like Traveler in SimSpace. But truthfully, if we're this close with the Traveler code base, and Dave's advice would, of course, be to throw in an OpenGL support and make it generic, and you could go to OS X and Linux. You could start building toward that. But it's all coordination time, leadership, testing. It's a lot of work. When you get involved in any kind of a code build, it's just a lot of work. So we would actually have to have a technical leader on the project. Probably could not be me. But anyway, it's a big step. But if we can find a home for it, like this project at USC Cinema Television School that I'm the lead on, we have three students and they're building an A-Life type adaptive agent system. It's that kind of a project around Traveler that we could start. And we're doing everything at Digital Space Commons now with open source components. So anyway, that's just a little bit more information.
I think that Dave R. would be a good guy to be a tech lead, you know, on some of the, you know, projects that might go that way, particularly where they have to. He's intimate with Ogre, since you brought that up. He understands the Traveler community and the intricacies, and he's not one of those people who looks at it from the outside. He's been in Traveler and knows us and knows how we operate and understands a lot of the human aspects right out of the box. And so that, I'm sure this fact wasn't lost on you. I'm just saying if he wasn't so busy doing all these high dollar NASA projects and stuff like that, if we could just free him from some of that, he would be an excellent choice for, you know, leading that sort of project.
Yeah, I keep him running, I tell you. This is never a dull moment at DM3D Studio these days. We have seven projects now in parallel going, from modeling lunar base designs with bucket wheel excavators and stuff. And I think I'll probably talk about that tomorrow at 2, so I'll hold off on that if you guys are all...
Oh, good idea.
I'll talk about that, and we'll show some sites and some movies and whatnot tomorrow at 2. Anyway, but I want to get off the podium.
We are definitely interested.
A little bit and give it maybe back to Maxie and Dominic. But I think that it is a critical juncture that if the code base, if Dave said, look, okay, here's whatever I got it, and do what you want with it, just call me the father of it, then that would be a really huge incentive, because then we would have this thing and we would have to then go to the next step. So any way you guys can think of, I know I email with Dave now and then. Other people talk to him more frequently than I do. Steve Turner does, and of course Steve DePaula does. So maybe it's a better approach to go in through them rather than me. That's it.
Hey, Bruce, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here today and to be part of the event. And I appreciate the communication and participation from everybody, you know, including you, Oz, and everybody else who had chimed in.
Fantastic job, you guys.
Yeah, you guys did a great job.
Absolutely fantastic. Top notch.
And Steve, too, if he was here, but looks like he's off already. And Donato's still here.
Apple.
Donato's the hot dog guy here. Right now, we have the Gates ready to perform in the roller rink room. So everybody who wants to try to go over there, even people in room number two, if you can hear me, you just click on the two heads with the magnifying glass icon up top, and you'll be able to pop over to the roller rink room and see the Gates perform.
Off to the roller rink.
This has been an awesome, awesome event.